Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Costco. I love you. Welcome to Costco. I love you. Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Welcome to The Syndicate, a film and TV podcast. Be a part of the conversation as industry insiders, genre lovers, and cinephiles dare to peek beyond the curtains of imagination and dive into the art of cinema. Join us as we want you to spend less time scrolling and more time watching. Now here's your host, Armand Haddad.
Hector, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here, and we meet again, Hector, because we're talking about Idiocracy from 2006.
And thank you for having me, Armand. With my IQ of 200, I think I'm ready to talk about this movie.
Yeah, I hope your big brain can be encased in this podcast with my smooth brain. But anyways, we're talking about Idiocracy. This was my suggestion to you because we're like, okay, let's do a podcast. You're pitching me all these movies, and I was like, no, I'm not feeling it. But what I am feeling, because of everything that's been going on lately, I was like, I think it's time to revisit Idiocracy.
I'd never seen this before you suggested it.
You never seen
I'd never seen it. So my history with it, if I can go over this, was...
Please.
So back in like junior year of college, I had just discovered Reddit. And like our videos suggested the opening scene of Idiocracy to watch, right?
Yes.
And then in the comments, people were talking, we're starting to get into like eugenics level of talking because they're like, yeah, you should have a test before you become like a parent and like you need an intelligence test and like make sure you're good. And then someone's like, isn't that eugenics? And the rest of the thread just stops.
I just simply think you should have a breeding license if you're going to be a part of this society that we're in. There, I just encapsulated Reddit. But yeah, I mean, I was that scene in the beginning of the film popped in my mind when I suggested this to you. I was like, that scene just popped up and I was like, I think it's time to talk about this film. And I forgot about the rest of the movie. Because, like, I don't know about you, but, like, this movie in particular, because this came out in 2006, and I watched it some years later because it kind of bombed in the box office. Didn't get a wide release.
No.
It was critically not praised. It was a bomb in all regards. So they dumped it on Comedy Central, and then that's where me, along with all my friends, watched it, along with, like, Half-Baked and, like, other movies that didn't perform very well in the box office, Office Space as well. They're all dumped on Comedy Central, and that's where we saw it on TV.
Wait, did Office Space? I thought Office Space was successful. It wasn't?
No.
Oh.
Most of Mike Judge's, the director, most of his films don't do very well.
His TV shows do, funny enough.
Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill. Those are like gold. But like his films, for some reason, even though they have a cult following, Like, we all know the lines, we all know the scenes. Just the average Joe doesn't want to watch it. They're like, oh, fuck this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah.
They're insulting me. I'm not going to watch it.
Like, but my point was, like, watching it when I was, I don't know, 18, 17, and then revisiting this film, watching films when you were younger and then watching them when you're older, I'm like, oh, like, the scenes that I remembered that are really good, they're still good, but, like, I forgot about the rest of the film. And yeah. I'm like, this didn't age very well.
No, it did not.
This is actually not funny.
Like, some of it was, but other parts were like, why are you focusing on this for so much?
Yeah, like, yeah. The jokes, like, they're funny, and then it's like, they stay too long on them, and I'm like, oh, this... Like, there's comedic timing for a reason, and it's also funny if it's like you're staying on it too long, where then it becomes funny. But like, this film doesn't do that. It's like, oh, we're still on this, we're still talking about this, and like some of it, some of the lines, I'm like, ooh,
yeah.
I'm like, uh oh,
yeah. I think that's the most R words per minute I've seen in a movie, I think, ever. So like. Didn't know they could fit it that well. Like
R words, like F words. I'm not saying fuck.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, it. That one's
which we'll get into. We'll
yeah,
get into that.
Yeah. It's just so funny. Also, SpongeBob's in the movie.
He is. Yes.
Yeah.
He was like the
computer
narrator?
Voice. Tom Kenny. Yeah. No, he was the every time there was a computer voice. Like.
Oh yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That was Tom Kenny. So I was like, is that Tom Kenny? And then this was after King of the Hill, right? So like it. Or, like, during King of the Hill, right?
It was during.
Yeah, that tracks. They probably knew each other. So, by that time, SpongeBob was the biggest thing on TV, so.
Yeah. He's a funny guy. He's done a lot of voice work in things that you wouldn't suspect him to be in.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I know that guy. But anyways, back to the film. Like... This film is like a paradox because like a lot of it aged like fine wine, but most of it aged as milk. Like overall, the film is an interesting film to talk about. And I don't want to get off the fence too early, but I don't know if I would recommend this to other people, you know?
I would recommend it to... If I recommend it to someone, I'm going to be there with them to see their reactions because that's all I want them to watch it for.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what the reaction is going to be. They're going to turn to you and be like, Hector, this movie's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, they'll be on board in the beginning, and then once the movie starts happening, they'll be like, what the hell are we watching right now? And unless you're a sadistic person, unless the joke is an audience of one.
I do that a lot.
Oh my god. But
I pick movies for my podcast that I knew no one else would like just to get their reactions. No, I
well, you did it for this podcast too. You're like, let's watch Drive Angry. Like, okay, it has Amber Heard in it, it's Nicolas Cage. And then I watch it, I'm like, what is this pile of crap?
In my defense,
and you're laughing.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I lost that defense as I started laughing, yeah.
There was a scene, and then we'll get back into Idiocracy. There was a scene where Nick Cage was having sex
yeah.
while also in a gun battle at the same time. I was like, what the fuck is this, Hector? What did you make me watch?
I feel like this was your getting revenge back at me for that, though, with at least like some scenes. Well, like I almost paused at one point. I'm like, I need a 5-minute break.
Well, you messaged me after, I guess, or maybe during you were watching this movie, and you were like, this is the best and worst movie you could have suggested to me. And I said, now you know how it feels.
Yeah. No, I have a friend who's been like really anti-intellectual lately, and it's just I felt seen with this movie.
So you were seen and you were heard.
I was seen and I was not Amber Heard. No, I was hurt. No.
Yeah. You were Joe in this situation.
I was definitely the Joe.
So let's get into it, Hector. We talked about it. We talked about a reaction. Let's talk about the film proper now. So Idiocracy, would you like to explain it? Or would you like me to explain it?
We can both do it. I can try and explain it.
Okay.
If I lull. So Idiocracy stars a guy named, aptly named Joe Bowers. But mainly just Joe. He is there with this, he is a army librarian who doesn't like to do shit. And then he's like, you are the most average person in the entire current armed forces. We are going to have you do an experiment where we freeze you for a year in hibernation. And he does it. And then the funniest joke in the movie was like the guy in charge of the operation. He had to befriend a pimp.
Yeah, because they had to. So Joe was like the most average person in the entire armed forces. So they froze him. So then they need a female counterpart. They're like, well, we need someone that's not going to be missed, not going to ask questions about. So they're like, okay, a street prostitute. Go on.
So this colonel has to befriend a pimp and make deals, but also just mainly befriends him. Just to like get her on the project. Her name's Rita on the project.
But and the problem name is Upgrade
with like three D's and a Y in the middle. No, it's two D's because it's like a double dose of pimping or whatever.
Yes. And the guy was like, oh, you know, it's a very interesting subculture.
And then, right, they were forgotten because it was so secret. And then he got arrested for helping the pimp out.
Had his own prostitution ring. He had like grills in his teeth.
That joke was gold. And but they get forgotten about for like 5,500 years. So it's 500 years. And they're in the world's overpopulated now. Everyone's stupider because the more smart people were used to do stuff like solve hair loss and, you know, buy. Make a better Viagra.
Yep. And like in the beginning of the film, even like before the whole Joe plot, our onboarding to this world is like, okay, in a world where smart people are delaying having children, and it shows like this one couple that's, you know, very smart, educated, and they're like, oh, it's not the right time to have kids, they're delaying it. And then that's contrasted with like a bunch of rednecks breeding like rabbits, and they're having like a whole bunch of kids, and like the husband's cheating on his wife with like this other girl, and then he has kids with her, and it's like his tree is like exponentially growing, and then the smart family ends up not even having any kids because he's shooting blanks.
I think Hank and Dale from King of the Hill, their names were in that family tree according to IMDb.
I'll tell you what.
This is Hank Hill, and I'm telling you what, you need to listen to Alex Jones.
What the hell is that?
That's Mike Judge.
I thought it was like an AI for a second, and I'm like,
no, that was Mike Judge.
That's really good. Listening
to, son. I don't think you like it.
Well, why not? I like this new generation of music.
You get in my face with that, I'll beat your goddamn ass, you son of a bitch. You piece of shit. You fucking goddamn fucker. Listen, fuckhead.
Okay, I'll stop.
Okay, the Alex Jones memes are gold.
So, yeah, Hank Hill was in that family tree.
Yeah.
Maybe Alex Jones, too. They're both from Texas, so you never know.
And so he wakes up and he goes to a doctor because he's like, oh, I think I'm hallucinating everything. Because, like, he was in a giant trash pile, and then, like, one can that can be recycled.
Yes.
Makes him crash through a lawyer's house. And the reason I say lawyer is because we'll get back to that.
It was a great garbage avalanche of 2055, something like that.
Yeah.
It was just like Wally.
Yeah, but the difference is Wally knew what he was doing. So.
Yeah, this was like, I don't know, you have to put the garbage somewhere.
You know, it's funny. Wally got into the Criterion Collection. I think Idiocracy should, too.
All I'm going to say is Idiocracy walked so Wally could run. And we'll unpack there are
some,
why.
There are some similar.
Oh, it's just, it's an extremely similar story.
Yeah.
Where humanity gets to this point of like degradation, but like it's two different avenues of how to tell that story. And Idiocracy took the low road while he took the high road.
Yeah, you know a movie's not high class when one of the funniest jokes is about a TV show called Kicking the Balls. And it's
Ow My Balls.
No, Ow My Balls, thank you.
And then the highest grossing film of that time is simply called Ass. It's just this guy's ass the whole time for 90 minutes.
Would not be surprised if that was what's the guy who made this? Mike Judge's ass. Would not surprise me.
I think it's someone's ass. I forget who, but like they didn't tell him like what the context was. They're like, we just need to film your ass for like about 5 minutes. They're like, why? Trust me. So this is the future in which Joe and Rita wake up to. Like, it's like our world, as if corporations took control of everything. Like Taco Bell has like their own bank and supermarket. Costco is like a university.
Don't forget that Carl's Jr. could take away your kid if you couldn't feed them Carl's Jr.
Brought to you by Carl's Jr. I get paid every time I say it. So. Oh my God. Like it's a interesting look at the dystopian future, because like we always see the dystopian future as like, oh, it's like government run amok, or like in RoboCop, where it's like the military industrial complex and consumerism are kind of like intertwined. With this, it's like people have gotten so dumb. They're like, buildings are falling down, so they put like ropes to keep the buildings from falling down to other buildings. And it's like, it's scary, because it's like you don't want humanity to devolve. We want to evolve.
Yeah.
And like we become like a prisoner of our own world, because like everyone's stupid. So like we crash into this lawyer's house, and like he's watching TV. He's watching Ow My Balls on his lazy boy chair, which is also a toilet. He's like, hey man, shut up. You're making me miss my show. And that's how everyone talks. As the film put it, it's like a combination of like hillbilly, valley girl, and like, did they use the R word?
No. They used that. I didn't like that joke because it was like inner city. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, is this
Ebonics
calling out? Like, yeah. I'm like, no, that one felt a little like, ugh. That was like my first weird ick in the movie.
Like, uh-oh.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, no.
And like when Joe, an average guy of 2006, simply him talking in his normal tone, people took it as him being pompous and being faggy. I was like, whoa. I was like, oh my God.
That's an actual quote, everyone. Armand didn't just say a slur for no reason. That's the actual quote.
I was like, oh, okay. I don't remember this.
Yeah, I was wondering that, because I saw that line like, is Armand just trying to bust my balls right now, or did he not remember this?
I want you to say, ow, my balls. Yeah, this, like I said, like the parts that are good, like the beginning of this film, the onboarding of this film, like, it's gold. It's great. It's fantastic. And then once you get into the actual story, it's like, ooh, this comedy, I don't think it aged very well, because it didn't.
Nah, Office Space is still super relatable. This one's kind of...
It's amazing, Office Space.
Yeah. I think this is like that, what do you call it, the sophomore slump?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like what you think Bo is Afraid is for What's-His-Face.
Wait, what?
Like what you think Bo is Afraid.
Oh!
This is Mike Judge's Bo is Afraid.
Except that wasn't the sophomore slump for Ari Aster. That was his third film.
Yeah.
Because like, his first film was Hereditary. Then he did Midsommar, which was both like, oh my God, these are so good. And then he's like, I'm going to make my own. I'm going to do everything. And it just, in my opinion, missed the mark. And then with Mike Judge, it's like, Office Space was so good. Like, you, like, hit the nail on the head, because I'm sure he worked in an office, and he saw, like, how soul-crushing office life can be, and he turned it into a film, this excellent comedy film. And with Idiocracy, I think he just went a little too far. Like, I could see where, like, this felt like either a Mad TV sketch or an SNL sketch that was stretched out to 90 minutes.
It
would have worked as a 5-minute sketch or even a 10-minute sketch, because, like, if you were to remove, you know, the middle and, like, kept the bookends of, like, the beginning and the end, it's gold. Mm-hmm. It's golden. Everything in the middle, the actual movie, isn't all that good.
You know who I think could do a, if you're going to give Idiocracy to someone who'd do a good job, I think it, if you got the Black Mirror dude.
Yeah, taking it more seriously would but be like, the route to
sprinkle
go.
In some comedy too, like not too...
Dark comedy.
Yeah, dark comedy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this would make an excellent Black Mirror episode. If like some dude was like frozen... Like cryogenically frozen, kind of like Fry from Futurama, except he woke up to a future where everyone's stupid instead of smart. Hey, Black Mirror dude, if you're listening, you can have this one for free. Make this movie good. What if he like were to remake Idiocracy?
That's what I'm saying. I think he could do it.
Black Mirror season 10, Idiocracy. And it's just like one long story.
Keep it like Bandersnatch and pick your own route through.
No, oh my god, yeah, it's like Bandersnatch. You get to choose, like, oh, which way does he go? Does he go to Costco? Or does he go to Carl's Jr. Big Ass Burger?
Don't forget Fuddruckers turning into buttfuckers. That was my favorite, because I used to joke, like, I always had trouble saying that as a kid.
Fuddruckers?
Yeah, because I'd always try to say, like, Rudfuckers by accident. So, like, I had to be very careful, and I think my friends noticed. They're like, Hector, why are you saying it so slow? And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like,
Fuddruckers.
Basic, yeah.
Hey, you want to go to Buttfuckers? Oh, man, I could use a Starbucks right now. Oh, there's no time to get a hand job.
Yeah, that line was so weird. I'm like, excuse me, what?
Like all the coffee places became like gentlemen's clubs.
Wasn't that around the time GTA was doing that hot coffee controversy?
Yes. Yeah, GTA San Andreas. You're right.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
That was such a random joke, and I was like, wait, did he play GTA or something? Because I remember that was around that same time. That's a pretty easy joke to build into the movie.
Yes. Oh my god, you're right. I forgot about that. Look at you. You weren't even around when that game came out.
Yes, I was. Armand, I'm like 4 years
CJ,
younger than you.
You don't know about Big Smoke. I'll take a number 5, 2 number 11s, number 12. Anyways, we're off the rails now. Let's get back
on the
rails.
Every time I get on the episode, we go off the rails real fast.
Anyways, I want to talk about the future in which the film takes place. So, and here's where the meat of the conversation is going to be. So, Joe ends up being the smartest person in the country, if not the world. And, you know, he, being the fish out of water, he, like, gets into trouble. Like, he wants to go to the hospital. He finds out they don't even have water. They have, like, this version of Gatorade that everyone drinks, that they use for everything. And he's like, I just want water. You mean from the toilet? So
don't forget that half the population is basically working for that company.
Right. Brondo.
Brondo, yes.
Yeah. And when he was, because like he gets in trouble with the law and like he gets arrested and he has to take like an IQ test because he needs like a barcode tattooed on him. And they find out he's the smartest guy because he can successfully answer this math question. If you have a bucket that holds 10 gallons of water and another bucket that holds 5 gallons of water, how many buckets do you have?
He's like, two? And
that's correct. So then he is transported to the president, President Camacho. is played by Terry Crews. And President Camacho has been living in my head rent-free ever since watching this movie.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
Would you like to unpack President Camacho?
Arguably the second smartest man in the country, because he knew, hey, we need someone smart to solve this problem. I'm not smart enough. Don't forget drinking and don't forget chugging those beers while driving the presidential Harley.
Yep. Yeah, President Camacho, he's like giving the State of the Union and like all of, it's like a, God, how do I describe it? Like a Def Jam concerts in a way, and all the senators are like, yeah, man. Like all like standing.
And let's not forget, to quiet him down, he grabs like a rifle and just starts shooting it up in the air to get everyone to shut up. I'm like, that's the most American thing I've ever seen.
And he wears this giant like Flava Flav medallion on him.
Like a WWE.
Has like the crest.
I think it's like WWE rules. As long as you have the thing on, you're the champion.
Because the entire cabinet has like those big medallions too, mm-hmm. for each like department.
Some kid won it from a sweepstakes.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah, so this is the world in which we're in. And in your opinion, like, does it parallel our world in a way? Because like, I have like a couple of reactions to this film.
Yeah. Jesus. If I say my full thoughts, you might not let me. I'm going for it. I don't hide it from anyone. I don't like Trump, especially when he was president. And the fact that some of the people he chose for some of those departments fit a little too closely to this goddamn... And I know it's like, oh, every politician does it, Hector. I know. But, like, Trump was, like, as little more egregious than most.
Listen, if you want to work for me, you just have to say that you love me.
And give me $10,000.
I just need more money. Namely the education, Department of Education.
Yes,
person,
wasn't it Conway?
Woman? Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Kellyanne Conway?
I think so. She was especially egregious in the whole thing. But yeah, it felt a little too close to home when it was like, how did you guys get in here? And it's like, oh.
Oh, you want to sweepstakes? Oh, nepotism.
That one I think was a dig at Bush, considering that was the time period.
Yes, I want to talk about that because I forgot in which this movie, the time period in which it was made, was 2006, during Bush's administration. And eventually, like, okay, I'm going to get off the fence early. I'm not going to recommend this movie to anybody. You can watch clips on it. You'll have a better time than watching this movie. Because as I was watching this movie, I paused it. And I asked myself, should I finish this movie? It was that bad. But I decided to finish it, and I'm glad I did, because at the near the end of the film, Joe becomes like president after Camacho is done being president. And when he's like giving his State of the Union, he's pointing with his thumb to make his points, you know, his exclamation points to his points in his speech. And I was like, oh my God, he's doing a Bill Clinton. That's what Bill Clinton did.
Oh, right. I didn't even
And I was like, oh, my God, this was made in 2006. This was a dig at Bush. Remember when we had a smart president?
Yeah.
Instead of this idiot president, Camacho, Bush. Hey, remember the good old days of the 90s?
No war criminal or less war criminals.
Yeah, there's less war criminals. We weren't at war with anybody. Still had the World Trade Center. Oh, remember when it was good, guys? Yeah, I forgot. I was like, oh my God.
Do you think those two buildings being held together were supposed to not? It
no,
could have been the world.
No.
So you just said it, and that made me think, like, wait, there were specifically two buildings.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, no. But, like, yeah, like, watching it now, like, looking back, I was like, oh, my God. This is a commentary on the whole Bush situation. I was like, holy shit. Because, like, when Trump was elected president, people, that's when this movie became popular again. Because they're like, oh, my God, he's like President Camacho. And I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. Okay. No. Okay. Let's get into it.
Okay. Yeah.
Because, like, a lot of the stuff that was aimed at Bush became popular again when Trump was president. American Idiots, Idiocracy, other stuff. I was like, hold up. Am I the old one in the room that remembers the original intent of all this stuff?
Yeah. No, I too. That makes sense. Punk's been making a comeback. Punk rock's been making a comeback lately.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
It's like a cyclical, I'm not making any political statements, but it's like things go away and then stuff comes back. This film exaggerates a lot of stereotypes to comment at the time, contemporary issues, the Bush administration, other stuff, but it's still relevant today. Do you think it's still relevant today? Or do you think like this film has turned passé in some regards?
I think it's relevant today, but my thing is with satire, what separates the good from the great is not just like, because you can get a good satire like, or decent satire like this in a way that once in a while is relevant again.
Mm-hmm.
But the good ones can predict some weird shit and just kind of be extra relevant and really hold on to longevity. Because I can see this movie being relevant for like maybe one more cycle, if we're talking about your cycle thing.
When the next Republican president is elected?
Yeah, because I'm sure by if we're going by that logic, I say not to protect myself, then the second Republican president happens.
President DeSantis. He completes his Homelander arc. He becomes president.
Oh, God, if he has laser beams for eyes, I'm running.
When President Homelander is elected president, we'll see Idiocracy one last time before it goes away.
Yes, because I think one thing I wish this movie had done, and I know why it didn't do it, but like the trend of like, I know like people are always idiots and do stuff for attention, but I feel like social media, especially like the new like live streaming, like Twitch and TikTok, have just exasperated it to such a degree. Okay, so like, what's an example? You ever seen those prank? Like, when there was a video of a dude recently I saw on like Reddit, right? He took off his shirt. He was in New York, and he starts swinging from the scaffolding, right? Just acting like an idiot.
Acting like Spider-Man?
Not even like that, but a little. Like he just keeps swinging. He sees a mom coming up to him with a baby in a stroller. Doesn't even stop. The mom was in the wrong too for not stopping and waiting, but he didn't even stop. And then like he kicked the baby in the face. And like just shit like this. Or you know about the NPC trend in TikTok, right?
Well, what's her name? Pinkie Pie?
I don't know who. It's a whole
strong
thing.
Strong woman.
Yum, yum, yum. Thank you.
Gang.
Yeah, gang, gang. Yes, that one. Like I'm not blaming the people who are doing it because they make actual money from this. Like, I totally get them selling your soul out for the dollar, right? Like, we all do it. We're all in this capitalist hellscape together. But, like, the idiots who give money just to get that little reaction are fucked. it's just so fucking stupid.
It is stupid, but at least it's, you know, it's generating money for the economy. You know, I'm just here for capitalism, bro. But anyways, yeah, I mean, it's, I was actually thinking about that this morning, because like, she lives rent free in my head too, because like, it's so, I mean, good for her. Like, she's like capitalizing on like, I don't even know how to describe it.
It's like that one lady who sold her gamer girl bathwater. It's the same thing.
Oh yeah, Belle Delphine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's preying on, I don't even know how to describe it, weaponizing
incompetence, or weaponizing like low IQ, not low
the
IQ.
The male gaze. I don't know how to describe it, but like, it's like sex work without the sex.
It's like Rita, right? She'd say,
yes,
I charge $100 an hour.
Oh my God. Yes, exactly. I hope that was your point the whole time. Yeah, because
I think it was just in a roundabout way, but yeah.
Because like, the character Rita in this film, like, she's smarter than everybody because she's an average person from our time period. So in the future, she continues her work as the world's oldest profession. She's a prostitute again. But instead of sleeping with her Johns, she can manipulate them by saying like, oh, if you give me money, you know, tomorrow, you just have to come back. Oh, girl, I'll wait for you as long as possible. So then she keeps on like dangling the carrot in front of him, and he keeps on giving her money. That's the equivalent of like all of these NPC people.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I was thinking about her because it's like, I find it, it's jarring, but also I commend her for being so damn smart.
100%. 100% agree. Like, and my issue is not with her. It's with some of these people, like, you have no money, or like
Gen Z.
It's not even, I would not be surprised if it's also millennials.
It's both.
It's
Gen Z and millennial. And it's like, for me as an adult looking at this, I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. For someone younger, like a teenager, looking at some of these girls doing that, they are frying their brain. It's like stimulation overload.
Oh,
with
yeah.
All the colors, all the things popping around. It's like, you're frying your brain right now.
Well, I'd argue it's also like,
it's drugs. It's like drugs.
It's TikTok too. Like that whole thing of like Instagram reels, YouTube shorts. It's the same thing. It's quick, short videos with no wait time. It's just dopamine
overload.
So then it's like, why do you want to learn anything, a skill or anything, or work hard or read a book? Cause you can just get this stuff. And then you start listening to like people who are the epitome of the Dunning-Kruger effect, who think that, oh, just because I sound confident means I'm smart. Like, yeah, I mean, you and I have a podcast, we do the same thing, but like, at least we're most of the time honest about how we're just, or at least in my case, you know, reshoot an Amateur's Guide for Good or Film. Listen, everyone, please. Amateur's in the name. Like, but, God, it's
Gooder
just infuriating.
Is in the name.
I know people who are falling for this bullshit. Like, oh, if you sound smart, if you say the right thing, you know, you can make a bunch of people believe the same idiot shit you do. And this movie worries me, because I feel like we are going down this path in a slightly different, like, we're going down the same hill in a sense, but with like a slight tilt of a different direction.
Right. Because like, the missing ingredient in this film, because it was made right before, like, MySpace was around during this time, but like, it wasn't big. Like,
no.
The film was also made before the first iPhone, because first iPhone was in 2007. This film came out a year prior. 2006.
Oh, right.
I feel like if this film came out a few years later, maybe like 2010, 2009, hell, even 2008, you would see social media in this film. And that's the big thing that's missing in Idiocracy, is social media, because social media with the iPhone and like smartphones, that changed everything.
I feel like, have you seen Don't Look Up?
No, but I heard it's actually good.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
No, I watched it twice, and I did not like it both. First time was personal, second time was for the podcast. I feel like that's the closest movie I think that I can think off the top of my head that is similar to Idiocracy.
Where it's like almost there?
Yeah, the issue was, it's about climate change, right? And it's the same thing of like, how to say it, with this kind of satire where it's just making fun of people, I feel like if you want them to listen to your message, you can't just make fun of them. You have to give them some good traits too. Otherwise, they're not going to listen to you at all. So why do you listen to someone who's just shitting on you all the time?
Exactly. Because like with climate change, 75% of people believe it's a happening. So it's like you need to convince that minority, hey, this is actually going on. And you're not going to do so if you're like, if you don't believe in climate change, you're stupid.
Yeah, but if you just say you're stupid, why would you listen to someone who just says you're stupid, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I have friends who I've tried to deprogram from a bunch of shit, especially, like, a third of the people I know don't believe in climate change. But if I just say you're being stupid, they're not going to listen to me, and why would they? And I think that's the issue with this film, is just... You have
it's
to
also
give...
their first reaction, too. It's like, they say, like, oh, you think I'm dumb. You think I'm stupid. I'm like, no, I don't. I just think you're not informed.
Yeah.
You just don't know. It's okay to not know things.
Yeah.
People don't know everything. But you have to learn. And like with this film, with education being thrown by the wayside, and you're like, you have an idiot who is in charge of the Department of Education. Like he looks like a Three Stooges character.
I think that's the reason that it got popular again with the Trump era. It's just because, like, who he appointed for education.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, my mom's not really political, but even she was, like, angry at that lady being in charge.
Now, it's been a few years since. What was her thing? I remember it was something to do with
fake
homeschooling?
Yeah, it was homeschooling, but not just that. It was also, like... Was it dual facts or alternative facts? Alternative facts.
Oh, yeah.
God, yes. That'd be... Yeah, like I said, it feels like a... That movie's my... Idiocracy is like my worst fear come to life, society-wise.
And it's scary.
Yeah.
Like, education is so important. And what you're... Because, like... Like, I recently did an episode on Shiny Happy People, and you've seen it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, education is paramount, because, like, kids are so impressionable.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if you teach them false things, or, like, things that are just twisted just enough, they'll go on the rest of their lives believing it. And it's hard to deprogram decades of information.
Yeah,
that was blatantly wrong.
Mm-hmm. Because you keep believing it, and then your brain just reinforces that. It's your brain makes connections when you learn new things, right? Your synapses. Mm-hmm. And then it gets shorter and shorter, the gap between the connections, because it's just more and more refined, right? That's why it's use it or lose it. And, like, getting people to get off of that is just so... I have a bachelor's in psychology, everyone. Just getting someone to, like, get off of that, you're right. It's just so hard. And that's what worries me, because, like, you know they're defunding libraries all around the country now, too, right?
We don't need to read.
I think, was it Texas is turning libraries into, like, punishment centers or something like that?
No, they're not.
Look it up. It's look it up. There's some state that is turning libraries to punishment centers. Like, I'm hoping it was fake news and I fell for it, but I think it's real.
It's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... We'll always be living in times where it's dangerous. Information is dangerous. We're in an info war. But like it's scary because like we can easily see a future. Like we're only like a couple of generations away from Idiocracy.
Yeah.
Like
don't worry, I'm on the climate change will kill us first.
No. I saw this meme. It was great. It was like, because like, you know, Canada's on fire and so is the West Coast. And like someone said, like,
Don't worry,
guys. The climate change hurricanes will put out the climate change fires.
Yeah, I saw that. But yeah, no, can't confirm. It's been smoky outside on and off for like 2 weeks now where I live. And it's Canada's fires, I think, just affecting here in Oregon.
I know. It's the same thing in Chicago.
Right? Like, really? What? I didn't know about that part.
Yeah, it was during the summer. And it was when I first heard about it, I was like, yeah, right. And I go outside, I'm like, oh, it hurts to breathe.
Yeah.
Feels like I'm smoking cigarettes, but I'm just breathing.
Yeah.
And like, it was all foggy. And I was like, listen. And like, a lot of my friends agreed with me. I was like, if we're going to have this air quality be shitty, let's have it at least look like Blade Runner 2049.
No, I 100% agree. Give me the replicants.
So, I want to talk about, like, because, like, the reason why I even brought this up to you is, like, this film, I feel, was, like, ahead of its time in some regards.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So, do you think, so, like, comparing it, so comparing this fictional future with where we are right now, like, where are the parallels? Like, where do you see parallels happening?
Oh, like, one that we just mentioned was lack of education or not caring as much about education.
What's that guy? Hustler University? Andrew Tate?
Yeah. Good Lord.
You don't need to read.
That's, yeah. An actual quote, everyone. Armand isn't just... I've done some digging on this dude. He's a fucking idiot.
How's he put it? Reading is faggy?
He didn't say that. That's the book. That's the...
That's the film.
That's the film, right? What's the other one? I feel weird about the overpopulation argument in the movie. I don't know.
The problem is it's overpopulated with lower IQ people.
Yeah,
It's not the amount of people, it's the amount of stupid people.
I'll be honest, I don't really believe in... fully in like IQ, because people can learn, right?
Yep.
It's just being, you just have to teach, like, try to help them learn the right things at the right age and give them the good tools. I think that's one argument this movie got wrong, but we'll see other stuff to talk. Capitalism, no, yeah, fuck corporations. 100% agree on like that being like, because remember, like, as soon as the... Okay, so later on...
Carl's Jr., Big Ass Burger.
Or Brondo. That was the one, because this is the big movie's biggest example of this.
It's what plants crave, Brondo.
But the corporations bought the FDA and the... What was the other one?
It was because, like, they're getting pushback, so then they just bought everything. They bought the EPA, the FDA.
Exactly. And, you know, we already have lobbying. It's arguably just the next...
It's the next step.
Step.
Wasn't this right after becoming the government?
Wasn't like, was it Citizens United, the one where corporations count as people and can lobby?
I believe so. But
wasn't that Bush era?
Yeah, corporations became people.
Yep.
Like, it's an individual, the corporation.
Yep. So.
Oops. Whoopsie.
Yeah. No, that one is a very strong parallel, in my opinion, because climate change wasn't the. I was busy working during the Republican debate, so I missed it. But, like, wasn't that, like, a thing about climate change not being man-made?
I didn't watch it, but I heard there was a lot of insult throwing.
Yeah.
Because Trump wasn't there.
But the whole thing, though, was also, like, you know, climate change isn't real. Hey, guys, how many of you are being paid for by Big Oil?
Brought to you by Mobile. And like, the thing is, like, this film is getting closer to being 20 years old, and yet there's a lot of it that's pretty relevant still and kind of parallels. But, I mean, I agree with you. Like, education is, like, so important. But also, like, reining in corporations, because, like... This is where the dystopian story comes in. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, they just care about making money at the expense of human life. To the point where we have constant dust bowls in this future. They don't grow. And, like, I don't know if we explained this, but, like, they don't use water to water the plants anymore. They use the Brondo, which is Gatorade. Which then destroys the top layer of the soil.
Yeah, it salts the top layer, right? Was the exact wording?
But it has electrolytes.
Yeah, it's what plants crave.
Yeah, but, like, let's try using water. But the Brondo
it's what is plants what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? It's what plants crave.
Other than the beginning and end, that was like my favorite scene.
Same here. That and the colonel becoming friends with the pimp. That was also like the funniest joke in the movie to me.
You have to really, it's like you're sifting for gold and it's there. You just have to get through all the bullshit.
Yeah.
I feel for Mike Judge. Like, he didn't have a whole lot. He didn't have a big budget for this film. And, like, they cut corners by, like, having all the characters wear this brand new shoe company startup called Crocs. Which ended up becoming popular. Which then leaned into the joke that everyone's wearing Crocs. And I like how everyone's T-shirts have, like, brand names on them.
Wasn't his name Frito, like, the company?
Yes, Frito. And, was like, there was this other character, Cojones? Beef Supreme.
There's Pendejo, which was really funny. Wait, it was Frito. I think it was Frito. Yeah, it was Frito Pendejo, which was, like, I had to pause to laugh so much at that joke. That was amazing.
Frito Pendejo. We just needed someone else called Cabron.
Oh, we say Cabron all the time in Puerto Rico.
Hey, Cabron. Why it's watch like Idiocracy? Oh, boy. But, like, so we talked about the parallels, but what did it get wrong? Like, watching this, you're like, well, that's not happening.
Yeah, was it? I feel like healthcare won't decline that badly, I hope. This one's for your mouth, this one's for your ear, this one's for your... And this one goes on your butt. Wait, no.
And then he washes his mouth with Brondo. Oh, boy.
What about you? What do you think it got wrong?
You know, that chair with the toilet in it? Because I always thought about that. I'm like, what if there's a chair that you never had to get up from? You could just poop right there. But that's uncomfortable.
You just gave me a very uncomfortable thought about Wall-E now. Like, I wonder if that was like a cut joke they had in mind. And they're like, nah, it's too much.
Sure. Disney is like, we're not going to go that far. Because, like, their chairs didn't have toilets in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we said, this movie walked so Wall-E could run. This was the prequel to Wall-E. This kind of is the prequel to Wall-E.
Oh.
It's the same exact hellscape that the world of Wall-E gets into. Because, like, you know, Joe becomes president. He kind of, like, fixes the food crisis by using water on the plants.
I don't want those idiots building a rocket to live off of.
We have to get out of here. What was the company? Big Easy Mart or something?
I think so. I know there was Costco, which was really fun. Like, law school at Costco.
I went to Costco.
I got in because my dad was an alumnus. I'm like, oh god, that's.
Yeah, I like how both films also make fun of Costco.
Yeah.
As well. So this film has like a cult following, like we said in the beginning. You haven't seen this film. You are introduced to it through Reddit, which I think lends credence to its cult following, and then me recommending it to you, like, hey, let's watch Idiocracy, based on my memory of the film. And how everyone talks about Idiocracy.
Yeah.
And yet, when you watch the film, it's like, oh, this movie sucks.
I wouldn't say it quite sucks. I wrote it on my letter. Every time I watch a film, I write on my letterbox. And I think my specific thing for this one, see if I can.
Letterbox find at reshoot.com.
It's reshoot _ Hector if you want to follow me. But what was it? Half the comedy works and some of the societal stuff rings true, but man, it switches between preachy and not preachy enough, like a pendulum about to fly. Such a weird film.
I like that. It's true.
Yeah.
Because, like, it definitely has a message. Clear as day, there is a message, and yet it's wrapped in this, like, fart and dick joke movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, do I take this seriously, or is this like a boner comedy?
You can do both. There's a lot of, what's an example? So recently, Old Boy got re-released in cinemas.
Yep.
So Ed took me to go see it because I'd never seen it before. He'd seen it before. The movie does a very great job of balancing tones between being really funny and being, what the fuck am I watching? And sometimes the gap is between seconds. Or like Parasite, right? That movie is a comedy until it isn't. But right. Like, it's like, you can do both. You just have to be skilled at writing. And yeah, I think Mike Judge,
good storyteller.
I think Mike Judge can get, is there somewhat. I think also, like, you know, studios also, I think yeah. studios in Western studios tend to like fuck around more with the film and be like, no, you know,
no, that's too far.
Or like,
we have to tone that down. We have to remove that joke. Mm-hmm,
exactly.
We should talk about this instead of that.
Mm-hmm.
We love this movie and the concept behind it, but what if it starred pirates instead? What?
Which one are you talking about here?
I'm just making up a movie.
Okay. I was like, I'd watch that. But
listen, it's about this futuristic society where everyone's stupid and like we have this average Joe. All right, hear me out. It actually takes place with dinosaurs instead. What?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
What instead of the future, it's the past. 65 million years in the past, actually. And let's get Kylo Ren, that guy. The movie's called 65.
Oh, I didn't see 65. I listened to you talk about. I listened to
dog
like,
shit movie.
Huh, is it really? But I know stupid. You said it was, and I listened to the episode, and I was like, it thank can't you. Be that. Like, was it's it bad. Just okay?
You're better off not watching the movie. Don't watch the movie.
Yeah, as soon as they said they changed the dinosaurs from being real dinosaurs to being like made up dinosaurs, I'm like, that actually killed all the fun I had for this movie. I don't know how to explain it.
Oh my god. Yeah. But with Idiocracy, ay. Like Mike Judge, he's funny.
No, he's funny. I'm not saying he's a bad
a funny
writer.
Guy. And
I
like
think just needs to work on the tone, like the making that tone switch work.
I think what he needs, and this is always my advice to every single writer, every single director, is that you should have somebody or a team that you could bounce ideas off of.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you can get only so far on your own, but if you can't do certain things, you enlist the help of people that could do that. Like he's a really good social commentator. Like he can take things that are happening contemporary and put them into a narrative situation where it's funny. But like he clearly has a problem with tone. He has a lane. He picks those lanes. But, like, he has problem, like, doing a comedy that also has a poignant point to it.
That's probably why his TV shows do better. Because it's a whole writer's room, right?
Exactly.
And he also, like, I don't think he writes a lot of the show. He just gives him the Bible. He helps him with the beginning. And then he just trusts him with the rest.
Yeah.
So, no, I agree with you. Yeah. No
case
man's an
point,
island.
He has a team. It's like, okay, this is the idea. Oh, those are great ideas, team. all right, time for me to make a movie, which I'm sure he gets a lot of fulfillment out of making films, but like, are you making this for yourself or are you making it for an audience? Because if you're making it for an audience, maybe you should have that same team make your films or help with your films. If you need help, just ask for it.
No, yeah.
It's not that hard to ask for help.
Unless you're me. No.
Unless you're Hector, who wants to do everything on his own.
No, I'm just too shy to ask people for help.
Am I talking about myself here? Yeah, I mean, Mike Judge, I think he's great, but I think a couple more passes, this film would have been a lot better. They've been like, well, instead of using the word faggy, let's say something else.
Yeah. That line,
like,
was,
you know, that could
wild.
Be homophobic, even back then.
Yeah.
There was that South Park episode that also tackled the same thing, which is still holds up. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I haven't. I only watched like two seasons of South Park, and I don't know which one you're talking about.
It was when, which also lives rent-free in my head, is they're having a great time outside. Oh, we're having so much fun. And like a big group of Harley riders.
Oh, that one.
comes barreling down the road. They're like, oh, what a bunch of fags. So then I think there was like a thing, like an advertisement billboard for like Harleys. And I forget who, but one of the boys like spray paints like go home fags or something like that. And the homosexual couples, Big Gay Al and I think Mr. Slave, see it. And they're like, I thought we were past this. And they get in trouble. They have like a hearing with the town, like, why are you calling people fags? Like, that's not right. Like, I'm a gay man. Am I a fag? And they're like, well, do you ride a Harley that ruins everybody's nice time? No, then you're not a fag. So what you're saying is, if this Harley rider was also a homosexual, what would you call him? Well, then he's a gay fag. God, is this so hard to comprehend? Huh. This is making a lot of sense right now.
I think they tried to tackle again with the PC principle arc with the Arsler.
What happened with that? I kind of stopped at a certain point, and I'm trying to catch up.
This was like the time I watched it. So it's been years since I watched this. I might be remembering this wrong, but one of the kids uses the word in the Arsler in the newspaper or something. People's like, who'd say that? Like, you know, it's a terrible word. You shouldn't say it. And it's the kid with the crutches who's like really crippled.
Jimmy.
I was supposed to say Timmy. Yeah, Jimmy. And then he's
Timmy's
like,
in the wheelchair.
And then he just like makes everyone, he's like, forget what I said. And he just leaves. But like,
if anyone's allowed to use that word, it's Jimmy.
I got called. Okay, so I work at a, I used to work at an art studio for people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, for like their own disabilities and stuff like IDDs, right? One of them called me that at one point. She's like, that's the word. And I'm not saying it. And I'm just like, what? I was just like completely like, what do we, like, I didn't say anything. Luckily, everyone was like, hey, we don't say that here.
Your
you never
brain
know who's going
to blue screen.
Yeah, I blue screen. So I'm like, what do I like do? Like, luckily it was like the excuse was we don't say that word because it can hurt other people's feelings. So they've been called that, which was a smart way of handling it. I started doing that the next time she used it. But like, man, that first one's just like a punch to the face. You know, like, what do you do?
Hey, we don't use that word. It's going to hurt other people.
Yeah.
Did she say that's retarded?
I think she did, actually. I had to walk away for that one, but to not laugh at her or encourage her. But like the first one was a punch, second one was like a laugh. But yeah, no, it was, oh man.
That's yeah. Like hearing it in a film and it's supposed to be like a comedy punchline, I'm like, maybe we could have rephrased that a little bit.
The only movie that I've seen recently where it works still is Whiplash.
I haven't seen that.
You've never seen Whiplash?
I know.
Oh my, okay. Well,
I didn't see the prequel Crash or the prequel Drive. I haven't seen Drive, Crash, or Whiplash.
So
I didn't see that. Well, no, I've seen Drive.
I haven't seen Drive.
The first film of the series. I didn't see Crash or Whiplash. I know I need to complete the trilogy.
Yeah. No, Whiplash is really good. So, like, so small spoiler. I think that the whole thing with those kind of jokes is depending on who uses them and how you use them, you can completely get a pass, right? Like, look at, like, that movie, Whiplash. The guy who's saying all those terrible things is a terrible person, and the movie doesn't frame it as okay.
Right, because it's the narrator of this film saying that, like, objectively, like, because he talked this way, he sounded faggy.
It's like, yeah, oh. It's always sunny.
It's not the characters in the future saying it, like, you sound faggy. That's different. It's the narrator objectively saying, he sounds like this. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, and then you've got
weird.
Or It's Always Sunny, right? Charlie Day has said the N-word in that show twice. Hard R. Gotten away with it. And it was like first episode and like second.
He has the N-word pass. It's Charlie Day.
It's Charlie Day. But no.
Well, the characters are idiots.
Exactly. Well, they're all are. That's the reason that the show is allowed to do it, because it's like they're idiots. They're not clearly in the right. Like, they did blackface twice, and each time it led to them fighting about whether or not blackface was okay to do. No, have you never seen It's Always Sunny, Armand?
No, I've seen. I don't watch it religiously.
Oh, I've watched every episode.
The first episode, the pilot, it's like the gang gets racist or something.
Yes, that was it. That was the first time Charlie uses the N-word. Second time was, I think it's Mac Comes Out. It's like one of the later episodes, and they're at a judge. They're doing a little court proceeding thing to figure out who gets the money due to like a lawsuit or something. And like when Charlie says it about, well, like, words that aren't okay, he says it, and the judge behind him is like black. So, really off the fence there, but just like, I don't know. It depends on the context, and I don't think this movie does fully get away with it.
No, it's context and intent, and like you can't really tell, because I've. You know, just watching this, just to watch it, I'm like, I don't know the intent in which they're saying this. I can't tell. And it's just strange, Hector.
It is.
It's just strange. So, Hector, we're at the end of the show. I have a few questions to get off the fence on.
Oh, please.
About this film. Are you ready?
Oh, yes.
So my first question is, is the film's portrayal of a future society overly pessimistic, or does it reflect genuine concerns about societal trends?
I think a movie can be both, and I think this movie is both. Because there's some parts where it's like, yeah, they're hamming it up for comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's a little pessimistic just to kind of make those people who are, you know, feel smarter than they are, you know, like R/ I'm very smart, you know, be like... Yes, this movie understands me, peasants. You know, but like, there are moments where like the joke stops, and it, like, when he's like about to be arrested and killed, when he's getting arrested and killed in the monster truck rally, and he's like, "They should just read a book. This is my fault." Stuff, you know. I think that was like the movie kind of showing its hand and being like, "Please, let's get better about all this."
It's in the framework of like pessimistic, where it's like average Joe from our time, fish out of water, where everyone's stupid. And it's like, you know, corporations run amok. Taco Bell is the government. They're using Gatorade to water plants. The president is a WWF wrestler.
And porn star. Don't forget he was a porn star. Extra relevant, considering Trump's wife, I guess, is the closest thing we've got.
Oh,
so far.
Yeah.
Not that she wasn't. She wasn't a porn. I don't think she was a porn star. She was like a Playboy model. It's kind of.
It's different.
Not shaming sex workers. I'm just saying it's just a funny parallel.
You're shaming sex workers.
I'm not trying to shame sex workers. It's just like a funny parallel.
They're very lovely people, Hector.
I'm sure they are.
They're doing the Lord's work. They're very nice people. Anyways, like, even though it has like the framework of like super pessimism, I think it does, in a roundabout way, highlight some concerns about where we're heading. Because, like, we've been talking over an hour, and yet most of this conversation was like, you know, with TikTok and, like, Reels and, like, social media, there is a genuine concern, and we don't really have an answer for it. The answer is like, just turn your phone off. Well, that's kind of hard when people are already addicted to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, stop using drugs to a drug addict. It's like, that's not going to work. So I think this inspires people to like, okay, we need to come up with a solution sooner rather than later about how to deal with like us potentially devolving into this brave new world hellscape where like our dopamine receptors are completely fried out because like we're seeing everything that we want to see right now on demand, paying money.
Yeah. Funny enough, I think video games are, of all the media, like the ones that you don't always have to wait the most.
Games?
Yeah, video games at times. I mean, there's loot boxes. There's like crate. There's like season passes, but those are meant to force you to play the game, and people aren't even having fun doing them.
Microtransactions. To play the game more, you need to pay money.
More. Yeah.
Because you could just wait.
That's true.
But that's no fun.
I don't play phone games. It's only a dollar. I don't play phone games ever, though, so I forget that. That's a good point.
It doesn't really happen with console games.
If your name's Blizzard.
No. With Diablo?
I was thinking Overwatch. I used to play Overwatch. I don't play Diablo, though. I heard the last patch was kind of that way, though.
Yeah, I heard there was some drama, but I'll have to look into it. I play. I haven't...
You poor soul.
I mean, I've been playing Diablo since I was 10.
I mean, that's fair. I get it.
Yeah, it's fun. But anyways, yeah, I think there are some genuine concerns that could be raised from this film. So my next question for you, has the film's satire become more relevant as time passed? Or have we moved away from the themes it presents?
Bits and pieces. I think in general it does, but I don't think the commentary it tries to provide kind of hits the mark anymore with how the world's changed through social media and other technology. Yeah. I think though, like with education especially, that's the part where it rings true the most.
How so?
Well, like I said earlier, like, you know, schools are being defunded, yeah. Like libraries are being turned. Like, was it, you looked up the article. What state was it?
Texas.
Of course it's Texas.
Tejas.
Texas is turning libraries into punishment centers when it's like, just let them learn, read, make them read. That's punishment enough for a lot of kids. Just make them read.
But I want to watch YouTube. Oh, God. I want to be on Reels.
I know you're joking. You hit an actual fucking nerve with some people I know.
I need my phone. I need it. Where the fuck is my phone? Yeah, it's not good.
It's not.
It's this elephant in the room that no one's talking about. Just people doom scrolling, people on their phone. Okay, so do you think the film's portrayal of the relationship between intelligence and fertility adds to a satirical impact, or does it go too far? We kind of touched upon this.
Yeah, we did.
Get off the fence.
I'm trying to find the words carefully here. I do want to get the message through. I don't want to say something that doesn't come across right. I think to a degree it does. Like, a lot of people aren't careful enough because they're not thinking about the consequences, and that's something that happens.
Yep.
But I don't think the film's a satire, so it's going to overblow it.
Oh, shit, I thought you were on the pill. I ain't on the pill.
Yeah, no, that's my guess. It's like, I think it somewhat lands, but also it goes, it's satire, so it's, but the movie also, I think, takes itself too seriously to be fully good satire, like, the good satire.
A nuanced satire doesn't go overboard with its humor, or it doesn't pick the low-hanging fruits. And this film picks the low-hanging fruit.
Ah, my balls. No.
I loved you in that film. Oh my God, it's you. Yep. And then he kicks him in the balls.
Well, he just said low hanging fruit. I couldn't resist.
Hey. Yeah, Zach Braff is in this film.
Wait, Zach Braff?
No, that's not Zach Braff. I always get them confused. Zach, but Dax Shepard is in this film.
Yeah. No, I knew it was Dax Shepard. He was Fredo.
Yes, he was Fredo. Watching out my balls. You're that guy. Oh, and like, he talks with a speech impediment the whole movie. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Do you think he looks fondly back at this film?
No.
Probably not.
I don't know that.
He's like, I need a paycheck.
I mean, I get, like, I kind of.
Does Maya Rudolph look back on this film fondly? Luke Wilson. Do you think all these people look back on this project and be like, that was a good decision?
I feel like maybe, but it's like, yeah, I don't know.
It was pretty, pretty bad. So, my final question. Would you recommend this film to a friend?
Not a friend, no. If I hate someone or I want them to get the message and something, or I feel like they're being, like...
My favorite part was all, ow, my balls. That was the best part.
Like if I...
Shit, man, see that guy's ass?
Yeah. If I ever...
Hey, Cletus.
If I ever piss off, if someone ever pisses me off, I'll say, hey, man, here's a good movie to watch. It gets, hold on till the 3/4, and then it makes sense. And it never does. Just to fuck with them.
Tell Ed.
Huh? Oh, tell come Ed. On.
Listen, you just have to get through the first two parts, but at the end, oh my God. You'd be like, this is a hidden gem.
The thing is, he and I both have like a pretty stupid sense of humor too. Like, we watched a movie called The Last Lovecraft, right? That's actually a movie I was going to recommend to you after this episode, Armand. Oh,
okay.
It's like a bro comedy that they don't really make anymore. You know, that kind of like... do comedy. So Ruthie was trying to mess with us because we had like a period where we're just messing with each other and making each other watch films for the podcast.
Yeah.
And it was really like, other than like a few jokes, it was really, really good, funny. Like, it's that good stupid humor. Ruthie, on the other hand, did not like it, even though it was her recommendation. It blew up in her face.
Let's watch this movie. Oh, mistake.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm angry.
She was turning to me at the scene. I think I mentioned during the sex / shotgun scene. And then she just looks at me like, what are, do you want to know the worst part, Armand?
What?
So give me a second while I grab something. My birthday was like a few months ago, and my mother-in-law knows how much I love Nick Cage films. Give me a second. She got me a Nick Cage movie collection. Guess which one's on the thing?
Oh my God, it's Drive Angry.
I've seen Drive Angry. I saw Knowing already. I saw Lord of War, actually. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
All that's left on the list is Joe, which I've heard's really good. Bangkok Dangerous, which I've never heard a thing about, so ugh. And Deadfall, which I've also never heard about.
Have you seen The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent?
I saw it. I've seen it twice. It's a pretty great fun movie. Film. The second half is weaker, and I know why. The movie explains why it has to be weaker on purpose.
Yep.
Which is like the most foolproof writing I've seen in a long time. Still wish it just stuck to the talking a lot. It was just, the bromance was fun.
Yeah, they had to put in some BS plot to have a movie, but honestly, we weren't all there for that.
Yeah, no. If I could fix one thing in that movie, is, you know, the joke when they're like, they think they're on acid and they think those two older guys are following them.
Yeah.
When the shootout happens, those two old guys pop up to shoot them.
Yeah, that would have been... Yeah, I felt like it was leading to some sort of punchline like that, but...
Yeah.
It didn't. Okay. Did you say you would... Oh, yeah, you would recommend this as a punishment. I would not recommend this movie, period. Like, I would say, like, go on YouTube, type in Idiocracy clip, and then watch those clips.
Yeah.
And that's it. Don't watch this movie. Like, I could see why this film didn't perform very well, and I could see why it didn't get a wide release. It's not that good of a movie.
The theater, I think the studio throttled it on purpose because of how it depicted a lot of brands. I'm reading that.
Okay. I mean... Yeah.
I think they had it in storage Carl's for almost Junior. A year because they're like, we don't know when to release or what to do with this movie that we paid for, which is...
What do we do with this movie? Like, this would totally be like a Netflix movie if it was made today.
Oh, for sure.
It would have got dumped on Netflix or Hulu.
I feel like Hulu has a little higher prestige than Netflix a lot of times.
Okay, although it would have been on Tubi.
Tubi.
What's the other one? Tubi, Pluto.
Pluto, yeah.
Tubi and Pluto are making original content now.
Are they really? Oh, no, yes. I didn't know about Pluto. Yeah, there was that one line that got really popular because some guy's like, my dick's been paying for all this, all for your lifestyle, because he's been, this man's been secretly being a prostitute for women. Yeah. And he hides it from his wife. So he, at the line, when she finds out, he's like, yeah, I'm in Viagra, stay hard, man. Stay hard. I'm paying for, my dick pays for your lifestyle. And it's like the funniest thing I've seen in a while.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Hector.
Yeah.
It's always a blast when you come on here.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun.
We've went on tangents I can't even comprehend right now.
Oh yeah. Have fun editing this episode, Armand.
Oh, I will. You're going to have fun listening to it.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
All right, Hector, we're at the end of the road. Do you have any final thoughts about Idiocracy before we take off?
Man, just either one or two more passes from Mike Judge, or have like what's a really good satirical movie that's come out recently other than Parasite?
The menu.
Have the guys from The Menu or Black Mirror. Actually, no, I want The Menu guys. I want The Menu guys to have a shot at rebooting the movie.
Yeah.
They were Onion writers. There's no one more perfect. Oh, God, there's no one. That's a good point. There's no, when saying The Menu, there's no one more perfect to handle this movie.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah.
The Onion can fund it.
Honestly, it could be Onion Pictures presents Idiocracy. And like the first like 30 seconds is just like a picture of someone's ass.
A good callback for the original audience, and then just yes, never speak of it.
And like the film like pans out from there. It's like a movie theater and everyone's watching like, ah, oh, 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 oh. I love this movie. This is better than Ass 2. There you go. Perfect. People be like, I remember. I stood up and I clapped. Oh, my God, Hector. Well, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much. Where can people find you?
I won't fuck up the thing this time, like last time. Most podcast listening platforms, Spotify, Apple, a bunch of others. We're even on Amazon Music, I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
Reshoot.
We take movies that we like, we dislike, or in between, and we make them, as Ed says, objectively better.
Yeah, I was on one of your shows, Minority Report.
You were on two of them. It was Minority Report and...
I don't even remember.
That was the second one. Minority Report was the more fun one. Oh, no. I can't remember what was the other one. You picked the second one. And then we... what's the one about Gattaca?
Oh, yeah, Gattaca.
Yeah, because we were all surprised because we all loved it and you didn't like it. And that was,
I didn't like it at all. I thought it was crap.
No, that's fine. But it definitely took up a... It definitely, like, added a new angle for the rest of the episode of, like, why did you not like this film?
I thought it wasn't made very well. I didn't like it. And I explained why.
You know what you should
do? What?
You should come on to our podcast again sometime. Fix
Idiocracy. Another sci-fi movie like
I was going to say Idiocracy, but if you have another sci-fi movie you want to do.
I'll come up with a good one.
Yeah, no, come by.
I want in line with Minority Report and Gattaca. I'll think of something good. I'll come at you guys. Actually, I might have one.
All right.
But I'll brainstorm if I find something better.
Yeah, for sure. Always welcome.
All right, brother. You ready to close this out?
Oh, I'm ready to close it out.
Thank you so much, Hector. This was a lot of fun. And to everyone listening, stop that scroll. Spend more time watching. Very relevant, given this conversation. All right, see you.
Bye.
That's it for this time on The Syndicate. We hope you enjoyed yourself. Keep the conversation going by adding us on Instagram and Letterboxd at Syndicate.
@syndicate. Or join the Discord server, where you can catch Armand along other podcasters and listeners at syndicate.com/discord. And until next time, stop that scroll and spend more time watching. Goodbye.